लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। बिहाइंड द सीन्स, oh yes, exclusive insights, absolutely, eccentric characters, you bet. So pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals, and now let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today, I have another actor in my podcast, and I read that he already had connections with Jennifer Lopez and with a lot of other great personalities, not in the vertical space, so we have a lot to talk. And I say hello to Eric Fellows. Welcome to my podcast, Eric.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me.
I stalked you a little bit on your Wikipedia. And, you know,
it's okay. You got back a name from a while ago. I wasn't sure which way you were going to go with it, but yeah.
No, I just read that and I saw that you did a bunch of music video stuff and also other stuff. So my first question would be, when did you decide to do acting and what was the reason for that? Was it a dream job as a kid?
Definitely not a dream job as a kid. I actually never thought about wanting to be an actor. I mean, I love movies. I was interested in the whole, you know, movie business in general. I love watching films. I knew a lot about movies, but I grew up in, you know, Maryland, close to DC, and I played sports. I played basketball, actually. That's something I was really, you know, I spent a lot of time in my life as a child, and I actually played high school ball, and I was supposed to play, you know, over in Italy, semi-pro out of high school, but I actually got injured. So at that point, I was going to go into rehab and still go after my dream, but my mom was actually a little bit scared to let me go at 17 by myself to Italy because I could have dual citizenship because of my family's hepatitis. So I didn't go. I chickened out and I put all my, you know, eggs in one basket playing basketball, and I was a really good basketball player. But I that was my dream. That's really what I, you know, embedded my whole life into. So basically, I fell into acting and modeling. It wasn't something I ever thought about where I grew up. It's not like, well, I'm going to go be a male model or be an actor, you know, on a soap opera or work in music videos or verticals. Like verticals didn't exist back then.
But, I think so.
Yeah. So I fell into it. It was, I got introduced. I was asked if I ever thought about doing modeling commercials from a friend. Friend's friend, their son was a model at this agency in DC, and they did adults, and they said, oh, I think you would do really well as a model.
Okay.
And I said, that's something I really haven't thought about. My friends would kill me. You'd be a male model. It's like, that's something we do. That's not how I grew up. But anyway, I went in, met with the agency, ended up started doing like commercial stuff and print stuff in DC, and one thing led to another. Yeah, so I started modeling in DC, commercial stuff, studying acting a little bit, because people said to me, you know, I'm only 5'10" and a half, so it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go be a supermodel at 6'2". You know what I mean? In New York.
Yeah.
So I started studying acting. It was something that people thought I would excel at because they thought I was crazy and had a personality and thought it was more like my look in the path. But yeah, so I ended up moving to New York with a friend of mine. And like, if we're going to do it, we got to go for it. So at 19 years old, I moved to New York. Mm-hmm. Give it a shot. And then I ended up signing with an agency, modeling agency there. And then I was working in New York for a bit, and then September 11th happened. And then I moved to Los Angeles, October 10th, 2001.
2001 already?
Oh, yeah. I'm old.
I saw you're just 3 years older than I am, so.
Well, you're young, but I'm old.
I don't think so. So did you take some
acting classes or courses then, or was it more learning by doing?
I did. No, I did. I actually, well, it's so funny because I remember in high school, because I played basketball. And like, if you played basketball or football in my high school, like whoever did drama and theater, they stuck to that. They didn't play sports. So like I had a drama class. It was like a prerequisite that I had to take. And I remember walking out of it. And like junior year, I'm like, this is horrible. I'll never do this. I don't want to say these stupid lines. I remember saying that. And it's funny, full circle, that I ended up doing this 26 years later for 26 years. The business that I thought was ridiculous. Yeah, no, I studied Meisner, New York. I've taken lots of different classes over the years. It's been a long time since I've taken classes. But, you know, I've studied many different instructors and coaches over the years. I've had private coaches. Coach named Howard Fine. He's the coach of the stars for many years. So, yeah, I have.
And when did you have your first contact to the vertical space? When was that? And how did you get into it?
Well, this is very funny. It's interesting. I think someone reached out to me and asked me if I was interested in auditioning for an alpha werewolf guy.
And you thought, what?
Well, I thought to myself, because for years ago, I was up for Vampire Diaries for Damon, and I got so close so many times in like a role, but I never got a part on Vampire Diaries, even though I was always up for it all the time. Either a werewolf role, hybrid role, vampire, never got it. So when this was sent to me, I'm like, okay, I'm not sure what a vertical is. I'm assuming it's vertical.
Yeah.
And then I kind of did a little bit of research, but I just thought they were videos that, you know, like snippets of, I don't know, skits or like within a show broken up on TikTok.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was. I didn't know it was going to become this thing. So I reached back saying, what is this? And they're like, oh yeah, it's like the lead. It's like a soap opera telenovela. You're playing like the lead alpha. He falls in love with this Luna who doesn't have a wolf. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Luna, beta, omega, shifting, what?
Oh yeah, no, it was all of that and more. And then I got it and I ended up doing it. And I remember the first day, I'm not used to working like that. You know, I've come off soap operas for years and film and TV and soap operas and that. You know, retrospect of daytime television still works very different in a studio, you know, machine comparison to the 7-day shoots on a vertical at 120 pages. And I just was like in shock what was even happening. I'm like, oh my God, is like, this going to be any good? I didn't understand what I was about to see. And then it came out.
What was the title of it? Do you know that?
The Faithful Alpha's Mate.
Okay.
The Alpha's Faithful Mate.
When was that?
2024.
Okay.
It's on Drama Wave now.
Okay.
But initially it was a playlet original.
Okay.
And then Drama Wave, I guess, I don't know if it's on playlet, but it's on Drama Wave. A lot of my stuff's on Drama Wave. So then I watched the show, and it's funny because I just had booked Law & Order, recurring guest star on that show. And they were doing the deal at the same time contract when my alpha thing came out. And I made a deal with the platform to post something about it. So I posted like, you know, the poster and then like me turning into a werewolf, kind of teasing myself about it.
Yeah.
And then the casting from Law & Order called and asked, hey, what is this thing Eric just posted? And they're like, oh no, that's just some silly like,
come on. Never mind.
they were like, do you mind if he takes that down real quick while we do the deal? And I'm like, oh. They're like, he can leave the poster up, just that video clip, because we don't want anyone to change. I was like, so that was my first experience with it. Getting used to the over-the-top dramatics and like sound effects and just, you know, the ridiculousness of it.
Yeah, okay, starting with the werewolf one is kind of creepy to get the full intentionally dashboard of a vertical.
The funny part was, like, I was, like, I guess one of the nicer roles that I've played, to be honest with you. I would say 30-70, 30 good, 70 kind of bad, crazy, you know, whatever, lunatic characters for these verticals and loving at the same time. But this one was like, he was a nice guy. I mean, he beat up people.
Yeah, he beat up job. It's the job of an alpha to beat up people, to
choke people out. You know, I punch people in the face and threaten their lives for my Luna.
Yeah.
But they, yeah, it was a little ridiculous. So I was scared to do one again because I didn't know what, if these were going to take off. So there was a while before I did another one. It was probably about 9 months. And I was getting offers for them, but I didn't, maybe 8 months, but I didn't want to make like a habit of it because I didn't, you know, that's not what I'm used to doing. I'm used to doing other stuff and film and TV. And I just didn't want to get a habit of doing verticals. It was a different direction that I wanted to go. And then all of a sudden, I just decided, my wife was like, you know, I'm losing a lot of situations and money, to be honest. And the business had shut down a lot. There wasn't much going on. Hollywood was still a mess. And then it just took off. And then it became this thing. And now it's like a machine. And now it's just tough to get a lead role in these as like a network show. I mean, I'm constantly like two of them today. I have two I'm waiting for. I have one coming out. But like we're fighting for them almost every day.
Yeah.
Like it's no joke. Like it's tough.
It blew up. Totally. I started watching verticals in 2023 and there were only a bunch of platforms. And I think per week, 3 or 4 show maximum got released on all of these platforms. And now there are more than 200 platforms. And I think per week, round about 60, 70 shows release every week.
Easily that, if not more.
And for the audience, it's totally shitty because we cannot watch so many shows.
I know.
Silly.
Why?
And to be honest, the quality is not so good anymore than like back in the 2024.
Yeah, no, it's hit or miss. I'm actually curious. The one I did in China, the general one, I think visually turned out pretty good. I think 85-90% of it, I was very happy how it turned out. Shooting in China, like it was, you know, big locations, kind of like action-y. I got to play Russian general, love story. So there was, on that note, I think it was shot really well. It was well directed. You know, there's going to be positive negatives. You know, unless you hire an entire full-on cast that's like solid cast, you're going to have like, you know, 4 main people. You know, and in the side character, sometimes it can throw the show off a bit. So, you know, to get 100% solid vertical, the way they're moving at this pace is really tough. With that many page count in 7 days, it's really tough.
Yeah, but I think most of the problem is actually the stories.
Oh, 100%. Well, they're just repeating themselves.
Not the
cast. There's too much abuse. They're taking... They're sexualizing everything so much, like 50 Shades of Grey, and even worse than that, without showing nudity, but insinuating. Now, I better turn those down.
There were lately verticals where after 20 seconds, you saw a whole woman naked completely.
Yeah, no, I refuse.
Before the paywall, right after 20 seconds of watching a vertical without any trigger warning, nothing. It turned out like nearly a porn, to be honest.
Well, that's the problem. A lot of times I come, you know, do the contracts on these and no one started, oh, it's mild BDSM. And, you know, I had a run in with one of the platforms when they didn't really disclose exactly everything. They wouldn't give me the script until like literally the day before I'd agreed to it and signed. And then reading it caused a big issue with me and my wife because she thought that I was keeping it from her. I didn't know. They told me 4 valid points that were aggressive. And I said, okay, well, compromise. Well, there was like 60 points and the intimacy coordinator said, how many pumps will I do? And I said, I said, okay, that's going to cause a nightmare for me. I turned white. The Zoom ended because it just ran out of time. And then I had to sign off. And I said, listen, I'm sorry, guys. I hate to do this to you, but I can't do it.
Yeah. I think that's important that the actors are also say, no, I won't do that. I'm signing off. Because otherwise, I think the industry won't get it. That these storylines are full of shit. Sorry for saying that.
No. It's the truth, though. You know, I'm trying to be cautious about, you know, the ones I do take. The one I have coming out, the Mafia one, is, I don't know if they kept the title, it's called Mafia Mr. Right Caught Me in the Dark.
Holy crap, these titles are so silly. Sorry.
And actually, it's so funny because they put up the banner and they put Mafia Mr. Right Caught Me in Dark. And I said, guys, there's a in the dark. So it's, yeah, I'm assuming it's going to come out in the dark. That's actually going to come out. I know they deliver it February 14th. I just thought it should be out like either end of the month or beginning of next month on mini shows. It's a cute story. It's like, you know, the mafia guy, the girl tries to save his the mafia grandpa. She gets hit by a car. She goes blind. She falls in love with the mafia guy. They get married. She gets her eyesight back and boom, boom. And there's lots of rope. Yeah, you know, I shoot a lot of people. I take care of her. Lots of like feud with her brother and my grandfather trying to get me to finally settle down. So it's very funny. So it should be cute. I don't know. We'll see. Because a lot of these stories are crazy.
So you said you shot one in China also?
Two. I shot Falling for My Ex's General Dad, the first one. And then the next one coming out, Mafia Mr. Right, Caught Me in the Dark.
Have you also shot somewhere else outside of the U.S.?
Yes, I shot in Mexico City.
Okay. In Europe? Yeah. Did you also shoot Europe?
No, I actually was just up for one doing in Poland, back-to-back ones, but they ended up going somewhere else.
In Poland? Were verticals shot in Poland?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
In Warsaw, yeah.
Oh, crazy. No, I heard only about Lithuania, Italy, England, Istanbul.
Yeah, it's the
Ukraine.
Oh, I'm gonna actually hold on 1 second. Yeah, Istanbul. They're actually starting to do them all over the place now, though.
Istanbul produces really great shows. Yeah, great shows. The shows which drop on Drama Pops are really great. Really. Yeah. Drama Pops produces only in Italy, in Istanbul.
Yeah, my buddy shot over there a few times in Istanbul, actually. Yeah, they reached out to me. The same person reached out to me for Istanbul, but the schedule didn't work out. And then this one was, yeah, back-to-back in Poland. But I think they actually were saying you have to be European because... And the casting person knows that I'm an American, knows that I'm American. But then she put out a casting notice after I'd already sent her my stuff. So they were giving me a temporary, basically a pre-offer for the role. And then my wife saw online that it said, Euro only for let male leave. So I was like, I think that's, they end up going like that. After 2 weeks, she like had me wait. I'm like, did you not already know that? I don't understand.
I saw lately the first casting calls for shootings here in Germany for verticals. I think the European, I think the European market will pop up this year badly. Not only in Istanbul and stuff. I think Germany will also be a shooting location.
You got to Italy to film one. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, in Italy were shot lately a few ones. Dan Löwenstein and director from the UK shot with Andrew Prunella and Sky in Italy in harbor and on a yacht. It was really great. And so I think that the shooting locations here in Europe will come more and more this year because I was told that the shootings in Europe are mostly a bit cheaper than shooting in the US lately. So it's cheaper for them to fly the actors over and shoot in Europe than shooting the whole scenery in Europe.
You know, I guess it depends on, you know, what your options with the flights and then look, you know, I guess a lodging and stuff. But yeah, no, I mean, to shoot here, especially in Los Angeles, is not, you know, still never cheap. That's why nobody films here anymore. But mostly I film in LA, around LA. Mexico and China twice. I feel like I filmed somewhere else, but I can't remember.
Did you shoot also in Atlanta or New York or Canada, maybe?
No, not yet. Been up. Actually, the one I'm actually, I have a chemistry read they've been trying for a while, this company. It's for, this one's for Dramabox, I guess. This shoots in New York.
Oh.
Forgot. I have a chemistry read on Sunday. So I don't know. I just set them this up yesterday. So I might be going to New York. But they've been trying. I mean, literally, they call me 100 times. I'm not joking. They call me, are you available? I'm like, listen, guys. Because always that's, they'll ask me to audition. And I'm like, guys, I'm not auditioning for you anymore. I'm sorry. I'll say I have 1,000 pieces of tape. I've done the same audition for the same type of character 100,000 times. And I've already played it upside down, backwards, and in my sleep. So, but I sent it for this piece. Like, will you please send a tape? I'm like, do you think I have a real shot at getting it this time? I mean, I'm this blunt about it because they play games. They play games. And it's like some of the guys I know that have done more leads than me, and like 50 leads, still audition. And I'm like, huh? I'm like, I mean, I'll send the auditions for certain ones. If it's like the character I just put on tape is weird. He's got some skin, like, it's called skin hunger syndrome, where his skin burns. And the only way that alleviates it, if he's like around her, so he has to marry her and she makes it disappear, but he turns into like almost like this beast.
What's that?
That audition's so weird. I'm sitting there like burning to death and turns this beast, and then all of a sudden being in love at the same time, and then with a very raspy, deep voice and very jealous, but also very loving, but also dark.
Dark. So is Dark your character for the Vertical Spicy Mouse get pigeonholed in?
Yeah, let me try to think. I mean, I played some wacky characters. Let me try to think. Yep. I would say normally it's the like bad boy turned good, realizes he can finally have true love, but it has like this past. I feel like that's the kind of, I feel like that's my, it's actually recognizing my own real life and the hell it's happened with my wife. Actually, we're trying to sell the show that I created. I don't know if you saw on my Instagram, I posted a poster, me and my wife, and it's called Addicted to You. So that's loosely based on our real story, but as a vertical. And basically 2 weeks ago, I created the poster and my wife said, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just going to test something. So I put it up there and said, let's see, would you watch? And people obviously see it's my wife. And it got like 2.2 million views. It got insane amount of views and it went viral. It was crazy as hell. And so I now have it at Set Drama Wave. It was sent to Real Short. I have two other people working on it. We'll see. Everyone's like, if it's my passion, I'll make it. And I'm like, listen, obviously as a built-in audience already, people obviously are curious about it. And it's based loosely on our true story with some like twists and turns and adjustments to the story. But it's really cute. It's really good. I made a really good pitch deck and shit. I would send it over out to Europe too. I mean, even like, even in China, I sent it to them, see what they're saying, but fly me and her over to China. I don't know. We'll see, because I want it to take place. We can make anything look like LA, I guess, but how it all went down in the story in these kind of certain visuals.
Yeah.
To make it work.
What type of character you prefer to play or you love to play in a vertical?
Well, obviously my favorite character so far was playing the Russian general. He had a lot of layers to him. So I think for me, I got to actually do something. Instead of just acting crazy and slapping people around and like be abusive of them. But like, oh my God, take me back. I love you now that you have another man. But the Russian general, like, you know, yeah, the age gap, and she did look 16 years old, even though she was 21. But I was like, oh my gosh, she looks like a child. And I was just like, oh boy. But the story was really cute. My son was a strange son. He just wants me for my money and my Russian wife. I got to treat them like shit, put them in jail. It just was a really cute story of him like actually finally letting go and falling in love with the situation, not knowing it's my son's wife, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of layers to him. So I think that kind of character so far has been the most enjoyable for me. The one I have coming out, the Mafia one's actually, he's pretty layered. It's pretty emotional.
What did the first Mafia one you did?
Second, I did a Mafia one, but they only put out the first paywall episodes on an app called SHRT. They did like a they put the pillow up and says we were supposed to finish it, and everyone's pissed off going, it's called that Italian pizza girl, something like that. It's
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. They didn't finish it. I asked them, I said, when are we finishing this? Everyone's asking when we're finishing it. You shot 10 episodes. And they're like,
yeah.
They send a heart and they keep sharing everything of mine, but they don't finish the show. I'm like, and they're an app or a company out of Cyprus.
Did you know the reason why they won't finish it?
I talked to the producer. She said they...
money increase or what?
I think they were trying to test it against another one they shot and see how well it did. But they're a newer app. They're a newer app and they only shoot ones with looping and dubbed. Like, they don't have any... Do you know what I mean? We're like the first or second show that's English. So I don't know.
It's a big problem, you know? There were so many new platforms lately. As I said, we are around about more than 200 platforms at the moment. And some of the platforms are only having 5, 6, 7 shows on the platform. But it's really, for the audience, it's really shitty. If you have a show you want to watch and it's the only show on this platform you are interested in, you have two options. You can watch it with coins or you can watch it with the membership. But that's always kind of not so cheap experience to do that. So for the audience, it's getting more and more hard to have the possibilities to watch the shows they want to see. Because, for example, I only purchase a membership on a platform where I exactly know, okay, there are a bunch of shows I want to see. So it's worth to purchase a membership. I'm not a patient watcher. I can't watch a show with coins, which I built up in a lot of days watching any advertising.
That's the whole coin thing. We know that goes on Daily Motion, right?
Mostly of the time, yes.
But then, or there's something, usually like a glitch in it, or it's ripped down. Mm-hmm. But it's weird because we can't promote any of the our stuff.
Yeah, I heard about that. That you don't get any possibilities to promote your shows. Yeah,
I mean, I still do it. If you look what I do, I still do it.
Yeah,
I go around them, and if they take it down, I put it right back up. So it's fine. I think it's ridiculous that you want us to build this name, even though the platform has its own, you know, Drama Wave, the bigger ones. But they ripped down the fans reposting like their favorite PBS clips. I'm like,
there were lately a big issues with the review ladies because they were turned down even only using the poster for their reviews. Yeah. There is a big thing ongoing at the moment. A lot of review accounts were deleted or put down because they use, you know, when they are doing the reviews, I'm doing every month a monthly recap episode with the 6 big review ladies of Instagram. You know, for example, Dahlia from Vertical Films Lover, also Eileen from I Love Verticals. So they are all doing reviews of shows. And every time when they're posting a review, they're using the poster, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So that you see, okay, that's this show. So, and a lot of them were connected. It was Drama Wave and stuff like that of all these apps. And some of them had to turn down their accounts because of using the posters for their post because of the copyright.
Well, someone I've talked to, the lady Christy who runs the Forever Fellows page, I guess she had wrote to me saying that people were writing to Drama Wave and they were whoever they spoke to over there. I mean, I know a lot of people over there, but they were really upset about the fact they don't know who's ripping them down. So I think they're trying to make a change, but I'm not sure where the...
It's not so easy. At one point, there is Instagram rhythm behind it who checks the copyright and the platforms cannot handle that. But on the other side, some platforms are saying it's forbidden to use the posters because of the copyright. And that's so silly because how they are getting advertising for free for their shows from the reviewers. And now they are started working against the reviewers. That's so silly. That's so ridiculous.
The problem with a business and an idea that becomes this thing and becomes this hit and it's out of control and thrown, you know, globally, and now it's become a new hit thing. And then when Hollywood is like, oh my God, they made more money than we did last year. So they're arrogant. And this is kind of what I was saying about how it's become a rat race for even these parts. And I'm, you know, again, they work out. I'll get them and some don't and whatever. And they play games. But I'm like, it comes to a certain point. Like, how they treat it is not how, you know, I've been in this business a long time. How we're used to things being done, regardless of time changes, technology goes on. There's still a way to treat people, okay? There's respect and people's time. And I think, and then also understanding who you're reaching out to. Sometimes do your like due diligence on people you're reaching out to, and they have a way of talking to you. And you're thinking to yourself going, huh? You're a vertical. And they believe this, but this is the arrogance. It's just what you said, because they're making money hand over fist. They're like, oh, screw you. Oh, screw you. You know what? Yep. But that's the issue here.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of people are now recognizing, oh, this vertical isn't just a fling. It's getting more and more a big industry. And now a lot of people want to try to get into this industry in lots of different ways. So I think it's getting more and more competition.
Well, it is competition. And also when you have like, you know, A-list stars or A-minus stars, like people like Taye Diggs and James Franco just did one. And I'm thinking to myself, I mean, I know he's had a very weird stint the last few years, James Franco, but if people of that caliber are now playing lead roles in verticals.
Yeah.
And then you got the guys who originally started those, you know, main 25 guys or whatever they are. And I came in like a year and a half later. So like I'm known enough to be that leading guide-ish that's kind of still new, but like still like 35, 40, that's that guy. But like if you're not in that situation, yeah, no, you're really, literally, it's a tough thing now because it's oversaturated. Everybody across the world will see a listing for something and they're going to, you know, because it's globally.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you look back to the first shooting you did in a vertical stuff and the last one you did lately, what has changed in this vertical space?
I mean, how we shot, to be honest with you, each shoot's a little different. You know, there's a handful of directors I've worked with a few times, multiple times now, that are come from TV and film, you know, background, feature film world that, you know, writer, director, producers that have been in that world for a long time, horizontally. So we have that understanding. And then also I've done a ton of these now and work all the time. But they're also film TV directors that talk to you and make it with you as this perspective. So I see there's a lot of miscommunication. I won't say what, you know, situations, but there's a little bit of, at times, language barriers that can cause issues.
Yeah.
And people, and again, a lot of egos. I mean, listen, entertainment's ego-driven as it is, but like it's getting in over its head so fast because it's literally become a money machine. So there's too many people. Everybody wants to now produce one. Everybody wants to write one. They ChatGPT it up, throw it out there. You know what I mean? Create an idea, call a platform. Hope they like it. Platform says, I don't want to make that, but you can direct it and you make what we want you to make. That's pretty much how it works now. So I don't know. I would say the first thing, because the Werewolf one really set the tone of like confusion for me. And the girl who did it, she had never done one either. But she was still newer to acting. She was more of a dancer. And for me, I'd been doing it for a very long time. So I was really confused. I thought it felt like, what am I doing with my life? Is what I thought at first. No, I'm not joking. And now I just realized that I just have fun with it. And we have a good time. And it's kind of what the new thing is. And I hope the advancement, that bigger, you know, directors and actors come in and you can actually make a really cool vertical. I'm hoping that's the case. But the competition is going to get tough now. So I'm just going to get as many as I can before it becomes insane.
What do you like on this vertical stuff? What keeps you so addicted doing verticals?
Oh, well, because at first I was scared to see myself absolutely ridiculous because I'm so used to putting in as authentic as possible, as like I'm living this moment. But this is almost like a satire parody on that. So, but not portrayed really as a satire parody. It's like they want you to take it serious. So I had to let go of that fact and just have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just comes out better that way. I just let loose and get to play on. Again, I've made some good friends. Stayed in contact with a lot of people at this point. You know what I mean? Like the vertical world, because a lot of those people were TV film actors for years and they're all kind of in the same boat. Because at first we're like, what are we doing? you know, we're all like, we're on soaps at one point. And they're like, well, think of it this way. It's kind of like soaps, but you know, it's a little more ridiculous. And the stories are absolutely like fantasy insane, but like they're fun. That's how we originally saw it. And then it's now a job.
Yeah.
Now you fight for the job and hope it's like goes like gets a lot of views.
Yeah. Do you watch your own verticals?
I'm smart enough to watch them because I'm smart enough to take pieces of each one of them and create reels so I can send it to the next producer to show that I dug pretty much every character to get the job.
Do you watch the whole show? So all episodes are only the part you were in? Huh?
No. I watched the whole one, the general one I did because I liked the story.
Yeah.
I watched.
Does your wife watch your verticals?
Huh?
Does your wife watch your verticals?
No. She doesn't. No, yeah. And I get it because, and again, I agreed to tame down like a little bit of kissing and stuff like that. We never let her. But, well, she's actually auditioning for them now. So we'll see.
So you are.
She said the less she sees, the better she sleeps. Until she gets cast and she has to kiss a boy.
and then the roles changed.
listen. I'm 45 years old. It is what it is. All I can say is that I say, listen, you know where home is. I come home. At the end, you come home.
Yeah, that's true. As you said, it's a job.
It's a job. But there's a way, you know, there's respect and stuff. And anyone I've worked with so far, except the one I ended up turning down, that was just too. It was too. It was like a poor. I just couldn't, you know. But they're respectful, and we always tame it down. It always say this, this, and this. There's, in, you know, you're insinuating like, you know, I don't use these handcuffs because for just for bad guys, or whatever. It's more like, you know, it's kind of cheesy, ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean, but like the visuals of that. But anytime you get into it, and we cut out. I'm always like never going past that because now you're into softcore porn territory, and I'm not a, you know, softcore porn actor. That's that simple. And I don't think the girls really appreciate that either. You know, 20, 21-year-olds being exploited like this, you know, it's too much.
Absolutely. And it's getting, I have the feeling that in 2025, this gets more and more. We saw a lot of BDSM shows. We saw a lot of this age gap shows. We saw a lot. I hate that.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, my last two were age gap stories. Again, you know, unless the story, but again, it's a cute story. And they're like, there's some, you know, intimacy moments, but the story's not driven that way.
Mm.
There's only like two intimacy moments throughout. And like, then you see the relationship evolve. And a person's blind, for God's sakes, and you still love her and she gets her eyesight back and you cry. Like, there's like a story to it.
Yes. But that's not very often happening. That is a really story to it, you know?
No, that's my point. The general one was initially BDSM. And before I flew out to China, I said, listen, guys, I've been through this before. I go with certain things. And they still tried to push it initially when we got there. And me and the girl were like, listen, we make it tasteful to this degree. This is what we're good with. And it ended up just enough. It made it a good show. They wanted to take it like, you know, with the whips and this and that. I'm like, you could.
I spoke with Alex Picting and he told me, you know, when you give them a finger, they want to hold hand.
Oh, yeah.
And they are always saying you that directly on set for the first time. If you're trying to give them a little bit. They want to get more and more out of you, and mostly as late as possible in the situation where it's nearly not possible anymore to turn it down.
Of course.
And that's so ridiculous.
Stipulate. I always stipulate before now. I've learned my lesson. On a Zoom, usually, though, I ask me certain things, I'll tell them the situation I was put in. I said, listen, if this is the situation you're going to put me in, I'm going to let you know. I've already been through it. I'll tell them the story. And they're like, oh my God, no. And I'm like, okay, so you know now what I will not do. Because they'll ask me, well, what are you comfortable with? I said, well, first of all, you just hired me for the last one. That's the degree I'm comfortable with. So anything past that, it's not tasteful. You know, my wife doesn't appreciate that. I don't think my mom's going to want to see stuff like that. And to be honest with you, there's only so much chicka-ching bang bang that you're going to do that make it absolutely ridiculous. Then it's just not even a, then you're not even making any art at all.
Oh, no, not really. So do you have the feeling that they listen to your preferences, wishes, or stuff like that?
To me, but I don't know how many people they listen to. They cause a night, again, the situation, the other one, caused a big nightmare. I was like, listen, I never felt so uncomfortable in my life with the intimacy coordinator telling me there's 57 points. They told me four, and then how many thrusts do I do? And would I have orgasm faces and this and that? I said, you're out of your mind. I said, first of all, I don't do porn, and you're not paying me anywhere near enough money for this. I say, absolutely not. This is crazy. So I'm very straightforward. Especially on set, I'm like, listen, guys, let's talk about it. But this is what I'm good with, and this is what she's good with. And like, they'll say, well, okay, well, what about, like, I'm like, listen.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah, I said, listen, it comes down to that. And then it ends up, always ends up so much better that way, because I just don't, then it's just like, no.
Yeah, you know, and you see, as the audience, you can see it exactly if the actors felt comfortable in the scene or not. You see it. You see it, totally. And you see exactly also if anyone took the role because he needed a job and the money, or if anyone could identify with the role he or she is playing. So for me, it's really important. You know, for me, a few points are making a good vertical. First of all, the storyline. And that got less. Last year, it got less. So the next one is the cast. Sometimes you have leads or stuff in the cast, you see exactly that they don't click. There is no chemistry on the screen. So, and the next big point, which ruined a lot of verticals in last year, was the post-production.
Oh, yeah.
Shitty sound, some really bad cutting or cliffhangers or stuff like that. We talked in our monthly recaps about a few shows where the cast was great, the story was really nice, but the post-production ruined the whole vertical and you couldn't see it much in it.
The very editing for anything in life can make or break the best actor, the best, it can make the masterpiece that you made absolutely unwatchable. So, and sound is number one thing, because if sound is off, then you're already thinking about, wait a minute, what's something doesn't seem right? And it takes you out of whatever they're saying anyway. And if the music's higher than you speaking.
Oh, holy, yes.
I don't know what's wrong with them. Like, why are they doing that?
Did that happen to a vertical of yours?
The first one, not in every scene.
Yeah.
Not in every scene. But there were moments where, like, it's louder. It's as loud as our voices.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But then when they re-put it back out for Drama Wave, it was different. Like, the sound was completely different.
Okay. So they worked it over.
Now you won't hear that. But initially for Playlip, I remember going, I'm going to try to listen, and I have it turned up. The music's just loud.
And you were, and you know what you said in this scene. Remember, for the audience, it's double hard because we don't even know what's the origin part.
I know. It's very upsetting for actors to see them ruin it and cheese factor it up, because you know there's actually emotional moments that the other actor, everyone was in it, but they had these... And into the stupid sound effects.
Oh, holy moly. Yeah.
You just ruined an entire moment. But they do that still a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Which genre you prefer to play? You said you did a mafia. Which genre? You said you played a mafia one. You said you played a werewolf one. So which?
I played on Billionaire Werewolf, I played Billionaire Gardner. I played CEO of a competitor company, the ex-husband. What was it? The Goddess of Divorce found me a CEO or something like that. I played the lead, I guess the villain lead, even though they call that number three, whatever, but I was in it more than they were, which is hilarious, but that was fun. So he was like the shitty husband, get a divorce and like leaves her for her best friend and she gets hit by a car, but then the guy with the divorce gives her $50 million and she becomes rich. And then I lose everything in the house and I paid for it back in the end.
Okay.
That was fun. The mafias are fun. I think the new mafia one is good.
Have you ever did a vampire one?
I haven't done a vampire one yet.
Okay.
That would be kind of, yeah, I've always wanted to do a vampire one, but I hear they don't do that well.
Yeah, lately there haven't been much vampire ones.
Yeah. I don't know if I would do a werewolf. I mean, the werewolves are kind of ridiculous, but if it's like well done, then yes.
Have you ever done a werewolf one again since your first one?
Oh, yeah, but I wasn't. I played the business partner to a guy named Eric Lutz. He was the Lycan King or some shit.
Okay.
Yeah, I did that, but I wasn't a werewolf. Was I in a werewolf one? Shoot, I can't remember. I don't think so. I don't think I've done another werewolf one.
If you can't remember, it was not so impressive to remember.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. Well, there's some I forgot, but yeah. So far, I'd say the general one was cool. The one that got us to divorce one was cool. And then, what else did I? Oh, there was one I did where I also was an abusive husband. Really abusive, though. That was horrible. I felt bad. The whole show opened up with me really throwing her face with glass and kicking her. It was horrible. Yeah. That one is...
Well, who was the female one?
Look, it's Christina
Kjell Larsen.
Yeah.
The Danish girl.
No, she's American.
Okay.
Why do I forget her last name? It's Christine. Look, yeah. She does a lot of them. Girls Help Girls Divorce or Die is the name of it.
What shit? Okay.
It did actually. That one did really well though. Actually.
Okay.
Yeah, it did really well that one. Yeah, she's an abuse crusher. So she saves the day. You just call the abuse crusher when, like, you know, the wife's getting beat or someone, the man's beating on the wife, and she ends up marrying this guy who's abusive and ends up beating him. Like, she saves the day. She's like a superhero that beats up bad guys.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good. I like it when women not so weak in the stories always. Because mostly of the time, the women are always weak. And I hate that. Yeah, so we will see what the 2026 will bring on you, hopefully new storylines.
I mean, look, obviously the ones that do very well, Mafia obviously does well. Werewolves don't do well. The general one did very, very well, and they didn't even promote it, which is crazy. You know what I mean? Like, if they just...
When's the general one published?
It was put... When was it? Or where?
Where?
Oh, it was on five of them. So it was real short, drama wave, good short.
Cool. On all the big planet.
And that's short. And all together, all of it together, it's probably got over 60 million views. But that's with zero promotion. They did not one bit of promotion one time. And it still got like 14 million on real short with not one promotion.
Yeah, Real Short is not promoting shows which they haven't produced.
Well, I know they don't. But they kept it up at the top. So it must have had some deal with producers or something. It was always up at the top for the first month, and that's why it was getting seen.
Yeah.
But in good short, it did pretty well. Drama Wave did pretty well. But yeah, it was in five different platforms. I don't know how good Mini Shorts is, because that's the one in my Mafia. It's newer, I think. Smaller, but it's...
I never watched any shows on Mini Shorts, to be honest.
It's newer. I just checked out, but there are people on there. There's some of the main guys I've done shows to them.
Wait, let me check. I think the problem with Mini Shorts is exactly the same problem. Mini Shorts are not, Minishort is not offering memberships. You can only watch with coins on Minishorts.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to lose. But you're seeing, I mean, the major ones that obviously are the big wigs have it all dialed in. This is why Real Short, this is why Drama Box, and, you know, Drama Wave, and Net Short, obviously, but it's bigger for China, right? Net Short, because that's out of China. I don't know if Net Short, because I've done a few for Net Short.
Net Short is compared to other apps, less expensive in the memberships. So it's easier to, for example, a weekly membership on Real Short costs me around about 23 euros per week.
Per week?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
And a weekly membership on Net Short is for €5.99. As I said, for the audience, it's fucking expensive to watch verticals, actually.
I'm saying that's why Real Short is so cocky.
And Real Short puts a really big bunch of shows, but so less in quality lately.
Yeah, no, I know. This is what I'm saying. They'll make a really cool, like, poster that pops. And then when you watch it, I'm like, this is horrible.
Yeah, it is.
I'm putting into some of the ones I've done, and I don't know. It's so weird. Sometimes I'm watching these things, I'm like, oh my God.
Like, I don't know. I don't have a membership on Real Short, actually.
Oh.
Because they put out quantity but not quality. And I definitely prefer watching shows on Drama Pops, Candy Jar, and Viglu. Because, for example, on Candy Jar, Candy Jar is based in Germany. So Candy Jar only drops shows based with the storyline on books. So the storylines on Candy Jar Productions is always really good.
Well, see, that's what I wanted. That's the kind of stuff I want to be doing. I mean, I'd rather be working for platforms. I don't want to say that, actually, because this is going to go off there. That's not what I mean. I would love to work for every platform. But what I mean is, like, the actual stories based off something like story.
Exactly.
Tay Diggs is doing that. So Tay Diggs.
And another advantage of Candy Jar is Candy Jar is recently the only app which drops serials. There are a lot of shows with more than one or two parts on it. So for the audience, it's more attractive to watch. And the next good thing is a yearly membership on Candy Jar is actually 70 euros.
I mean, yeah. Well, if it's $96 a month for Real Short, right? Real Short? That's a lot. I mean,
and now you can get a Candy Jar yearly app. Okay, they are not dropping so many shows every week. But when they are dropping, the shows are really good. And it's the same with Drama Pops. Every show which dropped on Drama Pops, you never get disappointed in a show dropped on Drama Pops. The storylines are always fresh. Okay, they have some typical vertical tropes in it, but not so much violence, not so many abusive things, nothing. And the quality of the post-production is always so great. So if you have ever the chance to shoot for Candy Jar, Viglu, or Drama Pops, please do it.
Okay. Well, if you hear of anything you think I'm right for, send it my way. I'm like, oh my God, they're doing this. So
yeah, if I'm seeing some casting calls online, I always forward it to the actors and actress I spoke with, where I think, okay, that would be fine for you. And so, yeah.
Well, this
could happen.
The only reason why any of this became successful is because people gravitate to it, and the fans are really, like, almost like on steroids, soap opera fans. Like, how they feel about verticals is similar to, like, soap opera. Like, when I was on Days of Our Lives, I used to go to the signings and events. But they're so in tuned every second for verticals.
Mm.
Like, they want it so bad. And it's only because of this. So Real Short, everyone should be thanking the fans. They should be letting them use the posters and post little clips of their show. This is why they're making billions of dollars, because...
Exactly. We bring the money. The audience brings the money to run this industry. That's it. And as a thank you, you get messages that you are not allowed to use the posters. That's so ridiculous. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I don't understand.
Yeah, we will see. Eric, on the end of every episode, I'm asking a five question quickie. I'm asking every time the same five questions. So first one, what's your favorite dish? What do you like to eat?
So I'm a big meat guy. I love steak.
Can you cook?
I've learned to cook once I got married. So we both cook. But I do most of the cooking just because I enjoy it and gives me something to do in the kitchen. And I actually like to make her food.
Yeah.
So it actually, yeah. And I took over for like her mother who used to do it in Bolin. So now I'm like the new Kasha. I love steak. Like honestly, I love
medium steak. Rare or what?
Medium well.
Well?
Yeah, I'm
really?
No. I mean, I'll do medium, but I might do a medium rare. I've had medium rare.
Yeah.
Of course, the blood's a little much. But I can cook a really good steak. I mean, I love everything. I love everything. I'm half Italian, so I grew up eating a lot of pasta, but I got to watch that so I can...
So you have the food porn in your veins when you're half Italian?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Italian food.
Eating a lot of food, and I'm like, okay, you got to take your shirt off. Now I'm like, shit. So I starved myself for 4 days just to like...
Not now, please.
Oh, I know. I'll be like, oh no, I just gained like 8 pounds. I have 4 days to get it off. And then I complain like, oh my God, what happened? So, I mean, I eat everything, but I would say steak, pastas, chicken. I love making sort of chicken dishes. Actually, I got to make food here in a bit. I'm going to make pork chops tonight, I think. Oh, with sauerkraut, yeah.
Yeah, the good German sauerkraut.
Yeah. Yeah. Bratwurst, yeah. Yeah, and I love, obviously, whole sausage. I mean, I love all food. I really do. Except blood sausage in Poland, I couldn't do.
Really?
No, she loves it. She was eating it. I'm like, you're insane. I had one bite, not for me. And I don't like liver.
Me too. I don't like it.
She eats this thing, pastet, and I... Am I saying it right? Pastet.
I published a cookbook.
Huh?
I published a cookbook.
Oh, you did? Well, that's amazing. Okay, well, then I'm not nearly good.
Wait, no, I'm not saying that because of this, but I put in it a lot of traditional German recipes.
Oh.
And a lot of people ask me, what the heck? And I said, yeah, that's traditional soul food from my grandma. My mom is from Austria, some Austrian food in it. And I said, it hasn't to be much complicated in cooking. The taste makes the feeling. And a lot of people say, I try. And I said, it's okay if you don't like any of these dishes, but at least you have to try it because the taste is sometimes so different and you couldn't imagine how great the taste can be of really simple dishes. But
yeah.
It's a self-food.
Well, Polish food, when I went over there, they feed you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Polish people are so friendly and gentle. Here in Germany, I live a lot of Polish people. And every time when they invite you to come...
Gentle and friendly than Germans, I'm sure.
No.
Well, you're very nice, though. I actually have to say. You are... And I'm not just saying that.
I'm half Austrian.
Okay, so yeah. They say...
And a little bit of Hungary.
Yeah, so the German language is tough. That's like a...
No. It depends where in Germany you are.
Oh, okay. So maybe you just say it sweeter?
You know... The people here in the south, to be honest, are much more nice than the north one. In the north, the people are more like selfish.
Gotcha.
And here in the south, you know, I think it's because we are living so close to Austria, Switzerland, stuff like that. We are not everyone. But in my generation, the people are very open. And I think it depends. Where you are in Germany, really. Yeah. So if you ever come to Germany, you have to visit south of Germany. Because here in the south of Germany, we have really great traditional food. And have you ever tried a currywurst?
One more time?
A currywurst. Have you ever tried a currywurst?
Currywurst.
It's a bratwurst with a special kind of sauce and curry on it. It's a traditional German food.
No, I have not. but it sounds really good.
Every one of your colleagues, for example, John Henry Richardson or JCN, everyone I spoke with who went to Germany say, what was the name of this bratwurst with this sauce? And I said, you mean currywurst? Yeah, that was so fantastic.
So, is it like a specialty dish that you order at a restaurant? Or like, can you get it?
No, it's more fast food.
Oh, okay.
It's origin from Berlin. It's more something you can get on the Christmas markets or in those street soul food places. Yeah, not in a typical restaurant. In a normal restaurant, you cannot eat currywurst. It's more like the street food here in Germany.
I get. So I make this note to myself: the South, and then call it currywurst.
And here in the South, we have, you know, in Bavaria and stuff like that, we have a lot of traditional food.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're making me very hungry right now. So just to let you know.
You know, here it's already 11:30, nearly to midnight. I'm done with food, so I can speak totally, totally easy about food today.
Single thing to eat, because I had to take my shirt off for the freaking audition. So now I'm going to eat.
Okay, so let me ask you the four questions quickie, and then we are done. So do you have any type of comfort movie, a movie you rewatched a few times because you really liked it?
Oh, yes. I mean, my favorite movie of all time is Stand By Me. Actually, Stand By Me is literally my favorite movie of all time and my favorite song. I would say Pretty Woman.
Oh, yeah. All-time classic one.
Pretty Woman, I would say, obviously Goonies, but Mannequin, Weekend at Bernie's. I mean, these shows that I used to watch over and over and over. Like Pretty Woman, I've probably watched... I'm not joking. And I watched Pretty Woman when I was like 10.
Yeah.
And like, I totally was enamored by the love story and I understood it, or like 9. Like, I got it. I always fell in love, like the whole idea of being like, and it was just kind of funny because now when I'm doing verticals, it's kind of similar to the Richard Gere with like the,
yeah, gap, yeah.
Just the purple.
It's typical, like, with a hot CEO billionaire falls in love with a, yeah, makes sense. And what type of music do you like?
Everything. I mean, you know, listen, I grew up on, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s. So I like pretty much a 90s, obviously. The music in today's world is, listen, there's some very talented people, but they're nothing like the 80s.
I know. I love the old-time classic ones.
Well, my favorite singer of all time is Whitney Houston.
Yep. She was really good.
But I mean, I grew up with 80s. So I would say I would listen when I'm driving in my car in LA from Palm Springs, I listen to 80s.
That's 80s. 80s are the best. I always say it's a real music. And mostly of the 80s music was live as good as on the tape.
Well, this is what I'm saying. That's the last time people really sang.
Yes.
Like,
absolutely agree.
Performance, they sang. And the only reason they didn't sing is because they probably lost their voice or they had a cold.
Agree. Yeah.
They sang.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree. So, last two questions, but one of it you answered nearly. If I haven't seen any verticals yet, and I would come to you and say, Eric, which one I should definitely have watched of yours because it's full of the classic vertical tropes. Which one would you advise me to watch?
I mean, I would tell you, actually waiting for the new Mafia one to come out, I'm actually curious to compare it to the other one I shot in China, which ironically both were shot in China. I mean, I would tell you to watch the different one because it is like a Pretty Woman story. Mm-hmm. Again, the way it plays out. And it's a really cheap ending.
No shitty cliffhanger at the end?
No.
Holy moly, that's good.
I mean, people made up their own stories. I mean, people that write these reviews or articles and they go on these tangents and make up backstories for these people. Like, people send me these things. I'm like, did they? But it was put out on Real Short, but they write these like long stories and give it great reviews, but like they extend the story, like how I got the part and how she got the part. And like, I put on 70 pounds of muscle. I'm like, no, I didn't have a pinched over my neck. I couldn't even put on muscle. So like, and then like he learned Russian. but he chose to do like a Euro American accent because he studied in the States, but he knows Russian because he studied with like this Russian teacher. I'm like, who makes this stuff up? But they told the story and people read it. And there's all these comments underneath it going, oh my God. And I'm like, yeah. And they said there's going to be a part two and the story continues where he watches him get on a plane. I'm like, that never happened. Like, it's hilarious. But people have these fantasies. I would say yeah, the general one, because the other ones, now the other Mafia one that they did not finish was actually, I thought was going to turn out to be pretty good. Oh my God, why am I forgetting everything? All the ones that did. I mean, you would like the Divorce Goddess one. It's a little over the top though. I mean, we pushed, the characters are so in your face. My character's such an asshole. I mean, no, he's a piece of shit. He's an absolute piece of shit. So, but it's good. It's well done. Oh, the new one I had come out, Dom Reddy. Merry Christmas, Dom Reddy. That was kind of stylized. It was cool. Very cool.
Okay.
Dom Reddy, yeah. The pacing's different and it's very, a little over the top, but then also very, I'm going to explain it. Calm, collected, like the lead. Calm, collective, and very monotone, but good performance to play that kind of character. And then other people were like boisterous within this very stylized, colorful, modern, vintage feel. I can't explain it, but very expensive looking.
Okay.
If that's about, so that it was really well done, actually. I have to say, John Wave did really well with it.
Mm.
Those are cool.
That's good.
Yeah.
And last question, which genre you want to see more on you in the vertical space?
I want to do something more like family oriented. I don't know. Almost like kind of like, that's why I really wanted to do this story with my wife. Really want to bring like a loosely true.
More rom-com style?
Well, it's going to be, well, there's going to be dramedy moments because our life is very dramedy and also very insane. Like I couldn't really stick to the full story because the full story is absolutely insane. It's nuts. You can't make that movie, but it's pretty close to it. Except she is going to be a foreign student going to, you know, working as a student visa, going and finishing up her last year for master's degree in America for journalism because she used to be an entertainment journalist in Poland. But she's working as an au pair at my aunt's estate because my aunt's rich. In real life, my aunt is very rich and she has a certain type of personality. And I'm a movie star actor who's down on his luck, had a bunch of bombs in the box office. And basically, I'm kind of on my way down. Like, I, you know, I'm used to being a playboy, not wanting to settle down, cars, money, just never wanting to get married. And I'm basically now I'm ran through all my money. Movies are down. The business changed. And I know my aunt's, the whole stipulation of my aunt's inheritance, to get that money, she said, you have to get married. Kind of typical vertical.
Vertical trope, yeah.
Right. So so she wants me to marry her best friend's daughter that has this sort of like, I guess, Ivy League sort of idea. So I end up meeting Caro as her au pair at the house. But she's finishing up getting her degree and she's only going to be in the States, you know, so much longer, but I fall for her. And that's sort of kind of the story, except I met her while she was still in Poland. But the whole story kind of plays out this certain way and how we got married in the end. It's kind of crazy. So I won't tell too much, but my point is that's kind of the direction of it. And then it ends, you know, she overhears that there was a deal made and my aunt wants me to marry the other girl. You fall in love. She ends up going back to Poland. After she gets her degree, ends up with somebody else. Huh? Yeah, it really did happen in real life. So this is the fun, not that she wasn't an au pair, but the story actually is very similar, just a little bit backwards. And then it plays out that way, but it ends happy.
So we will see. Hopefully you get the chance to do this.
Well, do you know this part to people? You know this part to people or no?
You know, the thing is, my life is like more than a classic vertical with brain surgery, memory losses, cheating, while operation. 2 years ago, urgent, needed heart surgery, nearly survived. So that happens in real life to me. So...
Serious?
Yeah.
That happened to you?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So my life is, I think.
Okay, you're obviously okay.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
God bless you. God bless you, Jesus.
But as we spoke about having a life like a vertical, I can go with you totally in that.
No, that's the very.
But I have the classic drama also. You know. I'm still waiting for the hot billionaire hidden identity CEO doctor, you know. I'm still waiting for it.
When you least expect it.
So no, but to be honest, these are all stories where the people could more identify because they are real, you know, they are more real than the classic story.
This is why I really, you know, again, it was something I thought about. It was more in the traction that the artwork got in people's interest in it.
Yeah.
And it just went crazy. You know what I mean? Like, it really did. And everyone's like, where is it? Where is it coming out? Which platform? And I'm like, oh shit, I gotta make this now. So now I'm trying to really put it together. But
so we have to bring our lives to verticals this year, Eric. We have to do that. Yeah.
Oh, listen, I can send you the pitch deck. And if you know anyone in Europe that would want to make this, I got everything already scoped out.
Yeah, I started being here in contact with different production because I did some acting stuff here in Germany. So I know a few bunch of people. And lately, I drop a lot of vertical stuff here in Germany because I want that this market starts to grow here. So,
well, listen, I'll email you the pitch deck. You get this thing going in Germany. We'll fly our asses over to Germany and make it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do that.
Okay.
Till then, Eric, I thank you so much for your time and talking to me. It was a pleasure.
I had a great time. Thank you.
I wish you a great dinner.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Do you have to cook now or can you get...
No, I'm going
to
cook. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to cook. Okay. She's good.
So that's good.
Exactly what I'm going to do now. Yeah. So, and we'll have a great sleep. It's late there. And I hope you get your car fixed. And God bless your puppy that you're going to pass away. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's life, you know? So thank you very much. And I send you greetings over to the US. Bye. And thank you, Eric.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
This is a wrap on this episode. And I hope you tune in again. This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.